This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Anthony Davis. That's a story from yesterday. In the NBA, really, if you're paying close attention, scored 25 points at the game-clinching block as the Lakers beat the Nuggets. Remember, Jokic and Jamal Murray, and ain't going to have Jamal Murray this year, but Jokic and Jamal Murray together, as Porter Jr. was just coming into his own a little bit, got by the Clippers and faced the Lakers. And it was like, they're the cardiac kids, they're the comeback kids, they're bombing from three, they're unstoppable. Jokic is an MVP caliber player, so is Jamal Murray. What are the Lakers going to do? Beat them in five games. It was kind of a mismatch. Like that feeling that where the Clippers, it was like they never really had the Nuggets out. Even when their Clippers were up big, you're like, Nuggets kind of have them right where they want them. With the Lakers, that comeback never really came. When they would mount a little comeback, the Lakers would just squash it. Because AD was better than Jokic. He was offensively just as good and defensively much, much better. That was really the key to me to that series. Like, AD is, he played huge. So the Lakers yesterday, this is a sneaky big game for them. The Nuggets have been very good, 12-5 now without Jamal Murray. So while they have no chance to win a championship without him, they're still a good team. They were not coming off, they weren't playing a back-to-back. They weren't playing the second of a back-to-back or something on the road. Nothing like that. They were coming off a day off. And the Lakers take them on not only with LeBron, not only just losing and losing and losing recently, but also without Schroeder, who 10 to 14 days is in health, safety and health protocol. There's a good chance Schroeder misses the rest of the regular season. And you got to start winning some of these games. You would like to avoid the seventh seed. And what happens? AD plays big. Gasol getting critical minutes was also big, but AD's the reason they won that game. He's the reason they won that game. To me, Knicks winning 12 out of 13. Westbrook averaging a triple-double for his fourth consecutive season, which even though it's sort of an arbitrary-ish kind of stat and it doesn't mean you're the best or anything, but it's an amazing accomplishment. An amazing accomplishment. Those things happen. No, to me, if you really are paying attention, it's AD's play and the fact that the Lakers won last night. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Listen to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel at the post-game press conference.
I think he's getting more and more each game in rhythm and getting his legs under him. Obviously his defense was good. He had a big block at the end there. But I thought this was the first game since he's been back that he was really, really decisive, especially early in the game. I thought he set a great tone for us, knowing that that Dennis and Bron were going to be out, that he was going to be in attack mode. And I thought he set a great tone for us, but obviously, when Anthony's at his best, he's impacting the game on both sides of the ball, and that's what he did tonight.
That was Frank Vogel, of course, talking about Anthony Davis. And I got to say, that's right on the money. He was decisive. See, in AD's comeback so far, what I've noticed is that he looks lithe and athletic to me, but rusty. But part of that rust is not just getting in the rhythm, of the game with your teammates. It's not just, tired legs, you're going to miss shots, you're not in basketball shape yet. It's a lack of decisiveness, right? You hesitate. You can't do that. And he was much more decisive last night. Meantime, I mentioned it, but Russell Westbrook is going to average, even if he has no points, no rebounds, no assists the rest of the year, he's going to average a triple-double this season. That's the fourth consecutive season. To this point in NBA history, only one other player has ever done that before, averaged a triple-double over the course of a season. It was Oscar Robertson. He did it once. And he hung his hat on that. Like people, what about Oscar Robertson when you bring up Magic Johnson when I was a kid? He averaged a triple-double. Of course, Will Chamberlain averaged 50 points and 25 rebounds a game. Elgin Baylor averaged 37 points that year. Because in 1961, 1962, the league was set up for high-usage players to have otherworldly numbers. Just like in the 1930s in baseball, great players would put up eye-popping RBI numbers, right? Because if they could hit home runs and hit for average, there weren't that many guys like that. So the guys in front of them would have very high on-base percentages, and they'd be the guys getting all the RBIs, driving them all in because they were hitting for power. And everyone's like, oh my God, they'll never, these are the greatest players ever in the 1930s. No, they're comparable to every other era in baseball. It's just that they came along where conditions were right or ripe for players to put up eye-popping numbers. Then when they raised the mound, 68, right? 1968, Bob Gibson, 1.12 ERA. Is that because Bob Gibson's the greatest pitcher who ever lived? I mean, he may have been. But he was in the same league as Sandy Koufax for years. Never better than Sandy Koufax when Koufax was in his prime. It's just that when Koufax retired, the next year, they changed the mound and it favored pitchers. And all of a sudden, you know, if Koufax would have been in the league that year, probably had a sub-1 ERA. So I am not knocking Russell Westbrook one bit. He's my favorite player. I love the way he goes all out all the time. It doesn't mean I think he's the best player. Ghostface, my favorite rapper. I'm not arguing he's the greatest rapper of all time. He's my favorite. Westbrook's my favorite to watch. I appreciate the effort he gives on every play in every game. But understand, he's averaging a triple-double. Number one, because he's great and unique. Because the conditions are right, but no one else is averaging a triple-double, right? And number two, because the conditions are right. And also, I got to say something about a triple-double. While it's you can't average a triple-double without being an excellent player, right? Because you can rebound the ball, you can score, and you can hook up your teammates. Even high-usage player, whatever, it's hard to be an empty-calorie stats kind of triple-double player. I don't think Westbrook's an empty-calorie stat guy. But it's a little arbitrary. You know, if you average a triple-double, 25 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, it's a great season. But is it better than, like, James Harden had 36 points, 11 assists, 8 boards a game? That's way, way better. Way better than 25, 10, and 10. Way better, especially when the percentages are better. And that's another thing. Westbrook is playing in an era, in a league, where we're more sophisticated about understanding value. So while he's racking up counting numbers, again, I want to be very clear, because he's great. He's not a great percentage player in terms of his, because he doesn't shoot very well. If Westbrook shot well, he'd be the best player ever. But he doesn't. And so the issue is that while he has the fourth consecutive season with a triple-double, once you contextualize, guys like Luka and James Harden have had more impressive seasons recently in terms of well-rounded points, rebounds, assists, guys, the different jobs they do. Guys like Michael Jordan, who one year when no one was coming close, was averaged 32-8-8. That was way, way, way better than a triple-double today. I can't even explain how much better Jordan's 32-8-8 season was back then than a triple-double would be today. But it's not technically a triple-double. So when Scott Brooks, Russell Westbrook's coach, comes out and says he's the second greatest point guard of all time, coach, he's not the second best point guard in the league right now because Steph Curry's in the league. Is he better than Damian Lillard this year? And Luka Doncic is basically a point guard, even though you call him a point forward. And so is LeBron James, really. Is he better than Chris Paul this year? Maybe. I mean, second greatest point guard of all time. If you're the primary ball handler and you have to be great, you can put up cartoon numbers in this era. And that's what Russell Westbrook is doing. But that's not to take it away from him. No one else is doing it. He's doing it. A triple-double for four consecutive years probably will never happen again. Where does Russell Westbrook rank all time? Or even in today's game? Any Westbrook fans out there? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. You can check me out on the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, wherever you get your podcasts. Louis Riddick, ESPN Front Office Insider. Lewis, Terry Bradshaw is one of the all-time greats, but if you looked at his numbers today and you didn't know anything, you'd say, well, he won very good. He threw 17 touchdowns and 19 interceptions a year, stuff like that, because the game has changed. In his day, he was great, but the game was changed a lot. And I think the game outside the lines has changed a lot too. So when Terry Bradshaw says Aaron Rodgers, him being upset shows how weak he is, I disagree, and I think it would be just as ridiculous for Aaron Rodgers to say, well, Terry Bradshaw wasn't any good. He in his prime, he never really threw 20 touchdowns with a 2-to-1 touchdown-interception ratio. I think what Bradshaw said about Rodgers is equally ridiculous as a comment like that.
Yeah, look, I have all the respect in the world for Terry. I think most of us do. We understand what he accomplished, and the great Steelers teams are, in many ways, the standard. Okay, as far as longevity, you know, in terms of winning championships, we get all that. But yeah, I think it's a little, I want to say outdated in terms of a viewpoint as far as how things are done now. I think if you fast forward Terry's career to now, if he was, you know, playing in today's day and age with the way the landscape has changed in terms of the amount of influence that players have over their own careers or the amount of influence they're trying to exert over their own careers, I think he would probably be doing some of the same things that many of the top quarterbacks are trying to do now, or any player in any sport that has significant leverage. You know, Andrew Brandt wrote something today that just makes sense. And look, Terry, I mean, Jimmy Johnson used to talk about this back in the day in the early 90s with the Cowboys. And that was, his quote was, greater talent merits greater leverage for different treatment. And is there a greater talent than Aaron Rodgers other than maybe Patrick Mahomes? Is there greater talent?
No.
Is that, I mean, exactly. So, I mean, he's exercising his leverage to get treated differently than maybe other players in the Packers do. And really, that treatment, the difference is really something that really isn't that different than what other players should want too, which is for a front office to communicate with you in such a way that shows that you respect the kind of things that you have done for that organization. Not that you're stepping outside of your normal, you know, business protocol in terms of the way you do things, but just to show the fact that, you know, you're a human being that has some awareness of the fact that I'm a different cat. I am, and you know it, and I know it, and everybody who watches our game knows it. So let's not be idiots about this and act like you're just going to treat me like everyone else and I'm not going to do anything about it.
Talking to Lewis Rick on the Max Kellerman Show. Lewis, I'll take it a step further, and I'm going to be a little obnoxious about it, but I want to get the point home. The fact of the matter is, when James Harden told the Houston Rockets he wanted to be traded to Brooklyn, it took the Rockets a while to understand. He's not asking. He's telling. Harden is the boss, and they have to now follow orders, which is exactly what they did. And it took them a while to realize, oh, I see, he is ordering us, and we must obey our orders, or else we're screwed. We have to trade him to Brooklyn. We have to do exactly what he says, right? That's the same thing in the NFL right now with Tom Brady, with Patrick Mahomes, and the Packers will come to learn with Aaron Rodgers. They've made the quarterback position so important, Lewis, that if you are on the extreme end of the bell curve as one of the very, very best, like you said it, Mahomes, Rodgers, Brady, that you're a shot caller. They can't. What, are you going to take a disgruntled quarterback and hope he takes a team to win a Super Bowl when he doesn't even want to be there? It's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. It's not like you're just coming to this realization now. It's not that all of a sudden you should be gonna, you know, having this epiphany that, oh, you know what, maybe we should have just kind of treated this situation a little bit differently. Oh, Aaron, we're sorry. Here, can we fly out to see you? Can we tack on a little extra cash on your contract? We're still not going to really extend you because we still do want to replace you here in the next few years. So we're not going to extend you and blow up our cap in future years, but we'll give you a little bit more cash. Will that be okay? Have you heard about Aaron Rodgers? Do you know how this guy has conducted himself? You know, not just on the field, but off the field. Do you understand how stubborn and how kind of set in his way this guy is? See, this is kind of one of those situations where I see both sides of it, obviously, Max, because I've been on both sides, both as the player and in the front office. And I understand both people, you know, both sides as far as what they're trying to do. Players try to maximize cash for themselves. Teams try to do the best deals they can in the best interest of the club so they can build a good football team. But there also comes a point where it still comes down to this. It always comes down to this, but in this particular case, it definitely is coming down to this. It is a people and relationship business.
World, Riddick, world. It's a people and relationship world still.
No doubt. Now, I'm just going to keep this to football, but you're right. This applies to anything, whether it be ESPN, you know, IBM, Hewlett-Packard, whoever it is. It's just when you think that you could just stomp on and kind of step over people who you know are superstars within your organization and are a big part of the engine that makes it go, it'll come back to bite you at some point.
Now,
and this is something that Brian Gutekunst, look, he he created, and now he's going to suffer the consequences. And, and trust me, I do believe he is going to suffer the consequences.
Yeah, listen, when Patrick Mahomes was like, I need to be protected. I was running for my life in the Super Bowl. They went out and traded and signed for the best left side of the line. He didn't have to say anything. Right. Tom Brady's like,
they knew it.
Tom Brady, you don't want to get me weapons, whether they said something or not. First he had the quarterback Belichick had groomed traded. Then he went to Tampa. Yeah. Then they got him everything he wanted in Tampa. Then they brought the whole team back. And Rodgers has got to be looking at this like, what am I, chopped liver? Meantime, Lewis, talking to Lewis Riddick here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. The draft went down. It was a very satisfying draft. I found like some surprises, some trades up, some trades down, implications in the NFC East, here, there. It was exciting. But the five rookie quarterbacks we thought would go in the first round all went by pick 15. What do you think, which quarterback is best set up for success in the short term, which in the long term?
Yeah, I think I think when you're talking about short and long term, I think people may disagree about Trey Lance being set up for success in the short term, but I still believe as though he is, because I think there's going to be so much carryover between what he did at North Dakota State and what they do at San Francisco. If you just watch the film, you will see it looks a lot alike. And that means that philosophically, these two, the coach at North Dakota State and Kyle Shanahan, both like to do some of the same things. They just call it differently. And they're going to expand upon what they want him to do in San Francisco. And number two, look, Kyle Shanahan has a history. He has experience in taking a guy who is a dual threat guy, a guy who can beat you with his legs when necessary and still throw the football. They constructed an entirely new offense in Washington for RG3 when him and his father were in Washington when they drafted him. They did it from scratch. They didn't have to do anything from scratch here, because in North Dakota, they did a lot of the same things that he's doing in San Francisco. Now he could actually go a step further and go, now just think of all the other little bells and whistles I can add on to this, like I did for RG3, and just take this to the moon. This, to me, is the perfect.
Yeah, you know what else, Lewis? You know what else? In terms of Trey Lance in San Francisco, I don't know. Like, I think they're thinking, we're not going to win a Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback, but we might with Jimmy G. We came very close once. But Jimmy G is very injury prone. So even if and Trey Lance could be dangerous to the whole situation now, because in practice, maybe he looks better than Jimmy G, and the temptation is start him now, which where he could run into problems later because he hasn't been seasoned enough, right? Now you have a quarterback controversy. But Jimmy G may put you in a position to run the table and then might get hurt. Like, I think that there's a very high probability, in fact, that Trey Lance wins a playoff game this year, whether or not he starts right away. I think it's a good call.
That could very well be the case. That could very well be the case. And I'll tell you what, the situation to me, from the outside looking in at San Francisco in particular, being that I know a little bit more about how things went down in Kansas City when Patrick was drafted and Alex was there, it does seem very, very similar. To me, it seems like it'll be one of those situations where as soon as Trey gets there, they're going to see the differences. They're going to see the limitations that maybe Jimmy G has that Trey doesn't. They're going to see how this offense can explode with Trey in there. They're going to have to sit on their hands to hold it back just to make sure, cross their T's, dot their I's, make sure that Trey's right. And if Jimmy is playing well, they'll leave him in there. I know this for a fact. When Patrick was a rookie and Alex Smith was still on the roll and had his best season of his career, they had to sit on their hands because there were many times that they were just tempted to put Patrick in there because of how good he was playing in practice and how far along he was coming day after day after day, that they felt as though we can win with him too. So they're in a great situation. They are in a great situation, and I think it's going to play out the same way, that as soon as something happens, that Garoppolo either gets nicked and or somehow that offense stalls, which it has done on occasion when he has been there.
Here comes Trey Lance. Where
Kyle takes the football totally out of his hands and they run the football. They go, hey, now's the time. Okay?
Great,
and that's no disrespect to Jimmy. That's just the way I think it's going to play out.
The great Lewis Riddick, ladies and gentlemen. We're up against it. Lewis, always great talking to you. Thanks for jumping on. Lewis Riddick on the Goodyear Hotline, and you heard him. By the way, Lewis Riddick was trying to tell everyone about Patrick Mahomes before that season started. He was like, wait till you see Patrick Mahomes. And Trey Lance, it's like you peel an onion. The more layers you see, the more, like, Trey Lance But can he throw? Yeah, he has a cannon. And is he accurate? Yup, accurate down the field. And can he read defenses? I mean, maybe he has the best processor in the draft. And is he fast? Yeah, real fast. And is he big? Yup, he's got real size. What about his personality? Very impressive young man. You talk to Trey Lance, which I have here, you come away thinking that dude is a leader. The Niners look like they got a good one. Jimmy G was on with Key, J. Will, and Zubin this morning. Speaking of Jimmy G, Trey Lance, and the Niners, what's his relationship with the club like right now? Going to get into it coming up. Good news for baseball fans. You're allowed to attend games this season where you sit in pods with your group, and businesses everywhere are making the gradual shift toward normalcy too, which means more hiring, which is where ZipRecruiter comes in. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free, only at ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
With the third pick, the San Francisco 49ers select Trey Lance.
He may be the biggest boom or bust here. I would bet my money on Trey Lance not busting. Why? Because this guy is wired right.
I'm sure the next conversation will be with Jimmy Garoppolo. What would you like him to know right now?
I'm excited to learn from him. I'm super excited to get there and learn as much as I possibly can.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. You can also check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80 and wherever you get your podcasts. You agree or disagree with Terry Bradshaw that Rodgers is weak? I disagree. I just think that the game has changed in ways that Terry Bradshaw is not appreciating outside the lines. Inside the lines, I think that comment is as ridiculous as someone today saying, oh, Terry Bradshaw wasn't so great. Look at his touchdown-interception ratio. The game has changed inside the lines, too. Every quarterback today puts up better stats than Terry Bradshaw did. Almost none of them were as great in this day as he was in his. What do you think, Aaron Rodgers looks weak? You think he's sweating Jordan Love? No, he feels disrespected. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Meantime, you know, Brett Favre on his podcast said about Aaron Rodgers. He knows Aaron. If he has a grudge, he ain't budging. He doesn't see Aaron Rodgers coming back to the Packers unless this thing gets resolved somehow, right? That's because Rodgers feels disrespected. Here's a real good way to show respect. You say, whoops, sorry. And let's make you the biggest guarantee in the history of the NFL. I bet you he comes back then. Meantime, Jimmy Garoppolo, his days in San Francisco seem numbered. I don't know to how many. If he can stay healthy this year, I think he'll be the quarterback. Because Trey Lance is talented enough to if you just make it a strict competition in practice, he may beat Garoppolo out eventually. But then you're putting Trey Lance in a situation where if he has any problems, you know, in his learning curve, all of a sudden, no, Trey Lance, you can't start, yanking a quarterback in and out of the lineup. And I think the Niners have a chance to compete for a Super Bowl this year. And Jimmy G almost won him one pass away. But I think it's a great position for Trey Lance to be in. You know, holding the clipboard probably for a year and then taking over. Meantime, Jimmy Garoppolo was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning here on ESPN Radio. And listen to what he said the communication's been like between him and the front office in San Francisco.
Well, the communication has been good. There really hasn't been anything unsaid. Everything's been put on the table. And, you know, it's kind of one of those situations, you know, I'm just happy to have the opportunity to play football. At the end of the day, that's what I'm here for. That's what I signed up for. And, you know, as long as I have the opportunity to go out there, win some games, and play good football, I mean, that's all you could ask for at the end of the day. All you really need is an opportunity. I mean, if you get an opportunity, you got to take advantage of it. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Jimmy Garoppolo is 24-8, including the playoffs. For a team, or 22-8 with that team. For a team who is, I want to say, 6-24 or something like that without him in that same period. He goes from winning 3 games to every game he loses to losing 3 games plus to every game he wins, or they win, without him. Jimmy Garoppolo is your quarterback, the Niners quarterback. They have a chance to win the Super Bowl. They're one of the winningest teams in the business. That same team without Garoppolo, one of the worst teams in football. So Garoppolo obviously has some value. He could help win you a Super Bowl this year. And then Trey, and here's the other thing. I wonder how much of the Trey Lance pick, not only that the Niners would like him going forward, but what if since the Packers weren't going to make a move with Aaron Rodgers before the draft, part of the thinking is let's take a quarterback might be attractive to the Packers. Maybe Bill Barnwell on ESPN.com had the top seven, I think it was, trade destinations for Aaron Rodgers. Niners weren't on there, but I'd put them on there. He had the Giants. I thought that was interesting. The Browns, as I did. The Dolphins, I agree with. John in Indianapolis, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
How you doing, Max? A lifetime Packers fan, and I just want to point out some things about why the Packers organization has been failing for more than, you know, just before the Jordan Love trade. Mm-hmm. Three years ago, the Packers lost the NFC Championship to the Falcons, and it wasn't Rodgers, it was the Green Bay Packers who failed, but there wasn't a defensive back within 5 yards of any Atlanta Falcons receiver. And it was embarrassing to watch. It was mm-hmm. disgusting to watch. I was deployed last year. I was a contractor. I couldn't watch I tried to stay up. I couldn't watch the San Francisco game 2 years ago. I wake up to Packers get slaughtered by the 49ers again, but their game plan was we're going to make Jimmy G beat us. And the 49ers said, no, okay, we'll have him throw it eight times. And we're going to run the ball down your throat. We're going to take that. The Packers don't spend money on free agency, but the 1 year they did, they went all out 2 years ago on their defense. And the 49ers said, we're going to take all those millions of dollars that you spent on Preston Smith and Za'Darius.
So wait, you got to sum it up for me. Because what would you say your point is here?
My point is that it's the Aaron Rodgers hasn't failed. Aaron Rodgers has shown up for years. And the Packers organization has not only failed, they failed the fans, they failed the players.
Okay, but I would just say that may be true 5 years ago. I think with the hiring of LaFleur and their recent performances, particularly last year, and obviously largely that has to do with Aaron Rodgers, but if you have a quarterback like Rodgers, that means you get to spend money and resources in other places because he will compensate in other areas, right? Which is, you do want to use your resources efficiently. So they've actually done a good job recently. Even on the offense, he has weapons. I would say he's still a receiver short. They should have gotten him another receiver. I agree with that. But they've done a good job on the defense. They've done a good job getting him weapons. I think the Packers, if you took all the quarterbacks off their teams, I think the Packers would be one of the six or seven best destinations for Rodgers. Like, if he was on some bad team, he's like, I want to get out of here. Where could I go? And you took all the quarterbacks off the team and said, well, you go anywhere you want. The Packers would be one of the best destinations. So I don't think it's about football right now. I think it's about money, which is you know, and respect. I'm saying money. Most people are saying it's just respect. I think the respect shows up in the dough a little bit. You miss any of the Max Kellerman Show today? You could hear my Mount Rushmore of Star Wars characters. You can always find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. L.A. It's New York's turn at the Astros now. It's going down in the Bronx tonight. Astros visiting the Yankees. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho. Let them have it, Bronx. It's my birthplace, you know. I was born in the Bronx. Raj, didn't you know that?
No. Been the Bronx. I thought it was in Watts. You used to tell us you were a kid growing up in Watts.
The people are fresh. Well, you know, I grew up in Watts on the corner of Magic Johnson Place and Fernando Valenzuela Boulevard. But I was born in the Bronx originally. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
You know, Dusty Baker won there when it happened. But he's got a lot of nerve telling people to get over it, move past it. Astros cheated the Yankees or the Dodgers out of World Series. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, wherever you get your podcasts. You agree that Terry Bradshaw is, you know, do you think he's right about Aaron Rodgers looking weak? I totally disagree. 888-SAY-ESPN 729-3776. Rodgers doesn't look weak. He looks, he might look like he's in his feelings. That doesn't make you weak. Last Take is brought to you by Dell. Small Business Month this year, and Dell Technologies and Windows can help you upgrade your tech with up to 45% off high-performance PCs. Work anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. Call 877-ASK-DELL.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Ought to let him have it in the Bronx tonight. Astros deserve it. They cheated everybody. And by the way, it's one thing to steal signs. That's been going on forever. That's the reason there are signs in the first place, to encode what you're trying to communicate on your own team so the other team doesn't know. And the other team's job is to try and figure out what that is partly. It's another thing to set up technology at your home park against which there is no defense. That's cheating. That's not trying to figure out someone's signs. That's cheating. There's a reason. In 2017, the Astros won 2 1-run games against the Yankees in Houston, went to the Bronx for a 3-game set, you know, in the best of seven, got their brakes beaten off in the Bronx, then went back to Houston and closed out the series. They were barely beating the Yankees at home because they were cheating, and they were getting whooped in the Bronx when they didn't have their advantage because the Yankees were better than they were. They cheated my Yankees out of a World Series appearance. And they cheated the Dodgers, too. I hope they hear an earful in the Bronx tonight. Meantime, you have people waiting to talk. Aaron Rodgers and Knicks and Dennis in Hawaii. You're on the Max Kellerman Show. What's your last take?
How you doing, Max?
Good, Dennis.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the Rodgers situation. Everything about it is disgusting me. But one thing that really is getting to me is that the championship decision had something to do with it. That wasn't a bad decision. They were down by 8 points. If you score a touchdown, then you have to score a 2-point conversion to tie the game.
Right.
You're still giving the ball back to Tom Brady.
But you're not giving it back to him. You're not giving it back to him in a position where he just has to get, you know, one first down and then basically win the game. No, you've been better off. And also, I get Rodgers saw daylight, should have made a run for it, right? Because then he either scores the touchdown right there or gets to, like, the one. And then, of course, you're going to go for it on fourth down. But you don't hand the ball back to Tom Brady. By the way, they did a very good job covering and got, what was it, a PI call. There's too many things that can go wrong. It was a blunder. And by the way, Rodgers blundered in the previous play too, but it was a blunder. At least Dennis, though, is making the argument like, you know, just because that's a popular take doesn't mean it's Dennis's take. Cameron in Louisiana, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
What's going on, Max?
Hey,
so, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say that Rodgers and Green Bay, I don't think that ship's going to sail. I think that's a done deal. What do you think about Rodgers?
You're mixing metaphors. I'm not understanding what that meant. You don't think that ship is going to sail. It is a done deal. Rodgers and Green Bay, I mean, he's staying, he's going. What does that mean?
It's a done deal. That ship's sailing.
Sailing. Wait, instead of talking with metaphors again, just tell me in English. You're saying Rodgers is gone from the Packers.
It's English. Right, Rodgers gone from the Packers. What do you think about A-Rod, Super Bowl ready, coming down to the 504, Sean Payton, you got Michael Thomas.
Stephen A. was talking about it. Marcus.
Alvin Kamara.
Yep. Spears.
I mean, I know he's
it.
A West Coast guy. You can send him out to camp. But, I mean, I just feel the Saints. I mean.
Yeah, the Saints are a likely destination in terms of, like, if Rodgers is surveying the landscape, seeing where he wants to try to win a Super Bowl, the Saints are a good contender. I think I'd prefer the Dolphins. I think I'd prefer maybe not a franchise that is just getting over a legendary quarterback who's always going to be more associated with that franchise, even if Rodgers was to win a Super Bowl there. I think I prefer the Dolphins if I was Rodgers. And not the market, but the team. I think the Browns, but okay, the market may be disqualifying for him. The Giants, maybe. The Niners, if something could be worked out. Andre in Massachusetts, you got 30 seconds, Andre.
Yeah, thanks, Max. Something needs to be worked out across the nation. We need fans west of the Hudson River to put some respect on the New York Knicks name, and this is how it's going to happen. Max, we're looking at a subway series in the second round. The Knicks are solidly in the fourth seed. Brooklyn needs to – a seven-game left. Brooklyn's going to get that number one seed, okay? Second round, subway series, Knicks versus Brooklyn. I'm saying it's going seven because their tip's tough, and that's when people are going to put respect.
We got 5 seconds. Andre is good, as sharp as always. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Poof.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.